week said in Parashas Sakhanim Alos and Kedoshim, we learned from the beginning of the Perek, that the Gemara discussed the Pesukim in Achron Rosh Kedoshim regarding Yitzuri Arayim. Both at the end of Achron Rosh and at the end of Kedoshim, the Torah has the same expression. In connection with the Gili Arayim, it says, Al tikama b'cholele, ki b'cholele nitmu ha'goyim ha'shalnim ha'shalech m'tneichem ha'titmo ha'oreb ve'efkod avonu aleho v'atoki ha'oreb et yoshveho v'shmartem atem es kukyotai v'smishpatai v'lasas v'mikol ha'toei v'sa'el ha'hu ezrach v'hagir ha'gor v'sa'echem ki es kol ha'toei v'sa'el osu anshi ho'az asher lefneichem ha'titmo ha'oreb v'atoki ha'oreb that same phrase. And it says again, the Ramban has a famous comment on the Pesukim in Achron Rosh and Kedoshim. Why does the Torah speak about Gilui Arayos in connection with Eretz Yisrael? We have the Mishnah in Kedoshim distinguishes between Chavis Aguf as opposed to Chavis Karka. You have mitzvahs atlis v'oretz, agricultural mitzvahs, and you have mitzvahs shem tlis v'oretz. You have Chavis Aguf. So the agricultural mitzvahs, they have the Chavis v'oretz, only apply in Eretz Yisrael, like Shumas and Maithus and Shemitah v'yehu, like a Shikotel. Mashenikin the Chavis Aguf, which are not agricultural mitzvahs, the Gemara derives from Sukkim that they apply b'chol olam kula, all over the world. So why does the Chumash stress over here? Hashem is bringing us into Eretz Yisrael, so we have to be careful with Gilei Arayis and Molech and Avodah Zarah and Itanido. All of these have to do with the Chavis Aguf. None of these are Chavis Akar. What's the special connection with Eretz Yisrael? And the Ramban points out a pasuk in Kriyat Shema that we say every day, twice a day. We say, Rabaratem Meher Me'al Horeta Tevash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will chase us into Golos. Then the very next pasuk says, Usamtem Es Dvorayela Alevavchem. But even Rashi quotes from the Sifrei that even when we are in Galus, we should still continue to practice the mitzvahs and something that Vorei El Alavat, we should still continue to practice the mitzvahs of Tefillin and Mezuzahs. It's also a fellow. What do you mean Tefillin and Mezuzahs? We should still continue to practice it. And then Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, who quotes from the Pasuk in Yishayah, Hatzivilach Tziyunim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chases Bnei Yisrael into Galus. But he says we should have Simonim and Azecher, we should remember the mitzvahs that we used to observe. We lived in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why we should continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz La'aretz, so that when we come back into Eretz Yisrael, in the future, the mitzvahs won't be chadosh and b'yeinechem, they won't be brand new things that we never heard of. We should still continue to practice Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz La'aretz, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll know what it's all about. Chatele, this is not chayvus haguf, this is not chayvus hakarka, so it's obligatory even Chutz La'aretz meikir adin, not because of Hatzivi Loch Tziyun. So the Vilna Goyen has a famous comment on that Sifre. He says that it's a misprint, that it shouldn't say Tefillin and Mezuzah, but just say Trumas and Maestras, that you should practice Afrosh's Trumas and Maestras in Chutz La'aretz, Midi Rabbanan, the Chachamim, and Misakin, Trumas and Maestras, Barotzes, Hasmuchas La'aretz, Yisrael, and Mitzrayim, and Surya, Amon, Moyog, and Misakin, Afrosh's Trumas and Maestras, the Mitzvahs, Atulis, Barot, partially, so that when Bnei Yisrael come back to Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah shouldn't be chadosh ha'menechem taka. The Jews who came back from Europe after the war, before the war, the Jews who came from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, they were Gezer and Kashrus and Shabbos and Taras HaMishpacha. They never heard anything about Shumas and Maizah. They don't know what it's all about. So taka, a lot of them are not Gezer. A lot of these people still are not educated in Shumas and Maizah. So that's what the Sifrei comments on the Pasuk, that the Chachamim were misakin, that's what the Vilna Gaon finds, that Chachamim were misakin, Shumas Maizah, Barotas, Hasluchas, Laretz Yisrael, as Hatzivilach Tziyunim, that we should remember a little bit the mitzvah, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we shouldn't be Chadoshim Laganim. But the Vilna Gaon Girsa is not the Ramban Girsa. The Ramban had the old Girsa, the way Rashi quotes it. We should practice the next Pasuk in Kriyat Shema speaks about Tefillin and Mezuzah, right? So the Pashtus and the Pesukim, the way that the phrase darshaning it, is Ravarat and Meher, Vesamtum as Variel, Ravachim, going on Tefillin and Mezuzah. The Pashtus is referring to Tefillin and Mezuzah. So that's what the Ramban wants to know. What do you mean that Tefillin and Mezuzah, the Ikar Mitzvah is only in Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean that Gilui Arayis and Moilech and Avodizore and Isenido, all of this is only with the Rabbanan Bizman Hazeh? It's only with the Rabbanan. It's only with the Atera in Eretz Yisrael. It's against the Mishnah in Kiddushin. The Mishnah says, Chavis HaGuf is Nahag is Ben Boaz, Ben B'chutz L'Oretz. And it says, B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim. Only Chavis Karka, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz. So that's what the Ramban addresses himself. Yeah.
Yeah, so if the Gemara is right, so why in America, let's say, isn't there a Chiyas of the message?
I don't know. The Chachamim thought that it would only be necessary in Aretz HaSmuchas. He's so choshish, so far. The Maisa turned out that the most observant Jews went from Europe.
America didn't exist, so it wasn't possible from there. I mean,
I would say the Golos, the Psukim and Navi speak about the Golos in Tzfarad, the Golos in Europe. Sukkim and Novi speak about that, and yet they were never mistaken. I guess there weren't so many Jews there. There were very few. The minority of the Jews lived in Mechakim. The majority of the Jews, I guess, lived in Aratz HaSmuchas. So they thought Takan would be enough to institute Aratz HaSmuchas. Manazer, most of the Jews lived in Aratz HaRachokis. Aratz HaSmuchas, like I said, they're throwing out all the Jews. They're killing all the Jews. In the Arab countries, there are no Jews. They're killing them. And, all the Jews live in peace to Aratz HaRachokis merits. Did you talk to do something else? I don't know. That's what the Gemara talks about, that consideration that they'll mix the food up. They may take food from Eretz Yisrael into the Aratus HaSmuchos, and they'll think that it's Chutz L'Oretz Tvu, and they won't be Marfish Trumsmer. That's the time the Gemara gives. And here this Sifrei gives another time, apparently for the same Takon, according to the Nun Negoyim, that the correct Girsa should be Trumus HaMaisis. So we know Trumus HaMaisis is only instituted by Ratzis HaSmuchas. That's in the Furush of Yerushalmi. Tosfos has one opinion in Kulin and other places. Tosfos has one opinion that the Takon of Trumas HaMaisis is all over the whole world. You have to Mafish Trumas HaMaisis in America as well, just from Yerek now. But on Dog and Firush V'Yitzah, the obligation is all over the world. Tosfos in Beitzon or Big Rosh Bo in Beitzon, Daf Yudbeis. And we don't follow that opinion. We follow the opinion that Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi. Tosfos in Kulin, Davav, quotes from the Yerushalmi, that the Rambam quotes from Halacha that all the Takanas were only in Aratus HaSmuchas. And still the Sifrei, according to the Hagosh Hagor, reads that this was another reason for the Takana. No, the time that he said, that states in Gemara that time, that they may be eating Peiris Eretz Yisrael, they think that it's Peiris Kutzlo, it won't be Mafish, and it really is Tevel Gomer. But the Ramban is bothered with this. Ramban has the old gears. It says Tfilin and Mezuzah, that's the Pasha Pshat, and here it speaks in the Pesukim about all kinds of Averis. So that leads the Ramban to his famous comment, unrelated to the other famous Ramban. There's a famous Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos that people mix up with this Ramban. Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos has comment on the mitzvot of the Rambam. So the Ramban claims that the Rambam omitted certain mitzvot and certain mitzvot lo says. So one of the mitzvot, which the Ramban claims the Rambam failed to mention, was the mitzvah of the Yerishta Mos of the Yishavtim. It is a mitzvah to control the government of Eretz Israel. That's unwritten. And the time is why the Rambam didn't quote that. That's the Shaila. Why doesn't the Rambam quote that as a mitzvah assessment, I think? Is it because the Rambam held that that's only a Hayruah Shor that was commanded to Yeshua ben Nun? The Dor Rishon, that they were commanded to grab hold of the government of Eretz Israel, to chase out the Zayin Amamim, Lo Zechai Kol Neshama, to grab hold of Medina Yisrael, to have the government in Jewish hands. But it doesn't apply to Manazer, or no, the Rambam perhaps holds that that's a mitzvah of Doris as well, to get hold of the government of Eretz Yisrael. But for some reason or another, they hold that it's subsumed under a different mitzvah. It's included under on the category of another mitzvah, and there's no need for duplication. That's the Shiloh, the Megillah says the claim that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Samod and Kanat here. The Megillah says the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah doesn't apply to Manazer because there's no Kedusha Torah. But the mitzvah is to grab hold of the government, to create Kedusha Torah. There was not, in the days of Yeshua, but then there was no Kedusha Torah either. The Lacha Yerusha Vishiva, until after the 14 years, Shev Shekiv, Shev Shev Shechilkas. What does the Megillah says their answer? If it's not Shabbat, look, Kedusha Torah, there's no mitzvah to grab hold of the land and have it in Jewish control. So why was Yeshua ben Nun Mechuyiv? Yeshua ben Nun was certainly Mechuyiv in the mitzvah, Yerusha the Mosque of Shabbat, but that, nobody argues about that. The whole Pilpul is it a mitzvah of Doris or not? And even if it is a mitzvah of Doris, should it be counted as a separate mitzvah than the Minyan mitzvah? Maybe for some reason or another, it should be included in a different mitzvah. What the Megillah Esther says is very telling. Very strange. It says that the mitzvah doesn't... What mitzvah? The mitzvah of grabbing hold of the government, controlling the government, having it run by Jews, doesn't apply to Zman, Shein, Kedusha, Torah. There it is. How come it applies to Zedek Yishuv and Yud? It's not a telling. It's not a telling. So that's one Ramban. That's unrelated to this Ramban. The Ramban there, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the big spouts, we reached the most of the Shaftim for grabbing political control of the land, that it should be run by Jews. This Ramban talks about a different thing, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, Yish of Eretz Yisrael. These are two different mitzvahs, no marshal. Years ago, Talmidei HaGro were oil at Eretz Yisrael, and it wasn't in Jewish hands. Until 1948, it wasn't the Jewish government. There was still a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's Ramban HaChumash talks about that. That everybody holds from that. The Gemara in the end of Ksubis, that's quoted La Locha and Eben Ezer. Of all places it's quoted, because in Ksubis it's quoted. In Ksubis happens to be talking when the husband wants to go to Eretz, a couple is married. The husband wants to go to Eretz, and the wife doesn't want to. The wife wants to go to Eretz, and the husband doesn't want to. So let's say a husband and wife are married in New York, and the wife decides she wants to move to Florida. So I said, but my partner, I teach in YU, let me move to Florida. I have to work for them. She says, she's going to Florida, goodbye. So I say, go to Florida, I give you a guest, I pay no ksubit, because you're ruining the marriage. She says, I'm ruining the marriage. That's the most normal thing. Everybody's going to Florida. You come with me, you don't want to go with me to Florida, you're ruining the marriage. So that's the question, who is responsible for breaking up the marriage? The husband or the wife? Or let's say, whatever, let's say the husband decides one fine day he wants to move to California. The wife says, no. She likes all the movies in the theaters in New York. She doesn't want to move to California. Husband says, I'm going. You either come with me or not. You don't come with me. I give you a get and I don't pay the ksubit because you're not, you're breaking up the marriage. She says, I'm not breaking up the marriage. We got married in New York. We're living here for 20 years. She wants to stay in New York. She doesn't want to go to California. So the question is, who's breaking up the marriage? So the Gemara says that in that case, the one who has the demand, he wants to move to another place, he or she is breaking up the marriage. The one who's living normally, wants to remain where they are before, that's normal. The one who is asking for something unusual to change, unless the husband has no job, let's say the husband has no parnosa, why you close this down? And then I say, I want to go to Florida, teach in yeshiva in Florida. And then my wife says, no, she wants to stay in New York, I should become a garbage collector, I should become a mailman or something. But then if that depends, you have to go to a business and determine who has a reasonable time and who's being unreasonable there. In each and every case, you have to figure out what's reasonable, what's unreasonable. So then the Mishnah Gitazor, the Mishnah of the end of Ksuba says, but in the following case, we know what's reasonable, what's not. If the husband or the wife insist they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, or if they already live in Eretz Yisrael, the husband or the wife insists that they want to be oiled to Yerushalayim, where there's a bigger mitzvah to Eretz Yisrael. That's what you see from that Mishnah. Nechsam Sefer has a famous tribute where he points out from that Mishnah that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is stronger in Yerushalayim. That's why he has a famous tribute that when you send money to support the Eretz Yisrael, the building, and even as those are mitzvahs of building up the land, and building Yerushalayim, paving the streets of Yerushalayim, and building the houses in the old city of Yerushalayim is a bigger mitzvah. You're kind of mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, building up the land more in Yerushalayim than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says that in the end of Ksuvus, that if the husband or the wife insists they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, or they do live in Eretz Yisrael already, the husband or the wife insists they want to go to Yerushalayim, the one who has this crazy desire is the normal one. That's considered reasonable. And the one who doesn't want to go to Yerushalayim, the one who doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's the one who's being the action. That's the one who's being unreasonable. And the one who's being unreasonable is the one who's responsible for breaking up the marriage. So if it's the husband, he has to pay ksuba. And if it's the wife, so she loses the ksuba. But the klal is the husband only pays the ksuba when he's responsible for breaking up the marriage. When the wife is responsible for breaking up the marriage, then the Mishnah gives you the list in ksuba that find base. The Mishnah gives you a list of people that the husband has a right to divorce his wife without an ksuba. Let's say the wife doesn't want to go to mikveh, or the wife doesn't want to cook him any food, or the wife is always cursing him, she's cursing the in-laws, or whatever. She gives him trade for food. The Mishnah gives a whole list of things. She doesn't cover her hair in public, and the husband wants her to cover her hair, all these things. So the husband has a right to divorce. The husband has a right to divorce her, perhaps even an obligation, the Gemara discusses. He's not only permitted to, he's obligated to divorce her, and he doesn't have to take ksuba because we consider it her fault for breaking up the marriage. But let's say a guy's married to a girl, and then the wife, at home, everything is kosher. But let's say she does other avers. Let's say she's not the full Shema Shabbos. She goes out, she doesn't always keep kosher. She eats out. Whatever, what else? I don't know. She does Averis on the side, but she's not as frum as the husband. And the husband doesn't want to remain with her because she's not so frum. That's the husband's decision that he wants to break. It's reasonable. But you can't say that the wife is breaking up the marriage. The wife is not being religious. The wife is not being observant. That's not grounds for divorce. Just because the wife is not religious. Just because the wife is not as religious as the husband. Grounds for divorce are if the wife doesn't give him the meals, or the wife gives him treasure meals. she fooled them into believing that the wife doesn't go to mikveh. It has something to do with the marriage. So she's ruining up. She's ruining the marriage.
She's mechal Shabbos, right? Then she's not then one to say whether she went to mikveh.
Not necessarily true. It depends. If she's mechal Shabbos b'farhesi adina ka'akum, then she's not then. But let's say she's not b'farhesi. She's mechal Shabbos b'tzinim. She turns on the radio at home. She drives the car a little bit. She's a little part of the Shabbos. So it's not Michal Shabbos preferred. It's very uncomfortable for the husband. But then when he divorces her, so that's his choice. He wants to have a more observant wife.
If you do one aveira, or you don't do one mitzvah,
you pass away. Pasul ha'edus, yeah, pasul ha'edus. Any rasha does any aveira is pasul ha'edus when you need two kosher eidim. Pasul ha'edus a mominus and a fashis of a service of the yerva. But let's say to say that the woman had the mitzvah, that say that never be yisurin. So as long as she observes taras hamishpacha, then she's believed. If, let's say a person doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, let's say the person in charge of the mikveh is the person who herself doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. So then the din is that that woman is not nemenis to say that the mikveh is kosher now, that she was mashed the mikveh. Since that person doesn't observe this halacha itself, so that person has no nemenis in this area. Let's say the person in charge of the mikveh does keep Taras HaMishpacha, but they don't keep kashrus. Then strictly speaking, they would be believed on the mikveh. Just that usually everything goes together. Normally the way society is set up today, if the person doesn't keep kosher, it's a kal v'chomer that they probably wouldn't keep Taras HaMishpacha. That's why we wouldn't believe them. We wouldn't want to believe them. Strictly speaking, up there alone, there wouldn't be believed. So the Mishnah there gives you the klal in Ksuvah Dafayim Beis. The Mishnah gives you the klal where the husband have a right to divorce his wife without paying Ksuvah, if she is responsible for breaking up the marriage. And here the Mishnah says that the husband demands he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. Well, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he demands he wants to move to Yerushalayim. The wife doesn't want to go along with him. So we say that the husband's demand is reasonable, the wife's refusal is considered unreasonable, and the wife is responsible for breaking up the marriage, and the husband has a right to divorce her without paying any ksuba.
That Mishnah is
then whatever has to do with the marriage. Let's say she doesn't want to have children and he does. But that has to do with the marriage. Marriage is for the purpose of having children.
No, well,
covering her hair. He wants her to be a tznua. He doesn't want her to look like a prutza, look like a single woman, that anybody should pick her up in the street. Till Shabbos is unrelated to the marriage. But the tznius of a married woman has to do with the fact that she's married. If she would have been single, she wouldn't have to cover her hair. Now that she's married, she has to cover her hair. So that's one of the dinim of the marriage. But the Mishnah says that it's understood the husband and the wife have to live in the same city. So the husband wants to live in one city, the wife wants to live in a different city. So there's no marriage there. So then you have to determine who is at fault for breaking up the marriage there. Who had the reasonable... One wants to live in California, one wants to live in New York, and they can't make a pshara. They can't figure out. So they get divorced. So the question is, does the husband take ksuba or not? You have to have a dinter and figure out who had the reasonable tain and who had the unreasonable tain. Who's the one who's responsible for ruining the marriage? But when it comes to going to Eretz Yisrael, going to Yerushalayim, whoever has that tain, the husband or the wife, is considered reasonable. So that's why the Gemara has all the discussion about living in Eretz Yisrael and the end of ksuba on that mission. That's why it's strange. That's why all the dinim, all the dinim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Pesukei Tshuva, all the parts we discussed it in Eben Ezra. It really should be in Yeredeich, right? In Hilchas Trumas Amayis. They should have a siman about Hilchas living in Eretz Yisrael, and then Hilchas Trumas Amayis. No, but it's found in Shulchan Aruch. Nobody debates that. Everybody agrees it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Mishnah. Yeah, everybody. The Rambam brings that. The Shulchan Aruch brings in Hilchas Ishus too. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That's in Eben Ezra, Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, if there won't be any parnassus, so then it says mitzvah, and there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is if you can make a parnassus either in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Loretz, even if the parnassus in Eretz Yisrael won't be as good as the parnassus in Chutz Loretz, as long as there won't be mamish misery and suffering, then there's a mitzvah to be kovel adira in Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael. But they'll have to go on welfare there, so then there's no mitzvah, you should go to Eretz Yisrael to live on welfare there. That's not called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So these are two different Ramban. They're talking about two different things. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvot talks about Yerishta, most of Yishabtim Bo. Yerishta means to grab hold of the political hold of the government. That the government in Eretz Yisrael should be run by Jews. The Ramban writes a Russian We shouldn't leave the government in the hands of other people. We shouldn't stop living in Eretz Yisrael under the government of the Goyim. We should grab hold of the government. And this Ramban of Chumash is a different thing. The Ramban here is talking about a different mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael.
How could we make sure that we would take Eretz Yisrael
by force? A good kasha on the Ramban. We don't know exactly Pshat Nad Gemara. How much has been written on the Gemara? The end of Gemara, the end of Ketubah talks about the Shvua that Bnei Yisrael took to Shalayal Bachom, that they won't grab hold of the government of Israel, Bal Korcho of the Goyim. Look, the Pashto says that it doesn't apply. So much was written in Europe about this. The Pashto now is that it doesn't apply. Although some still think that they still say. That even though it's too late now, maybe the people did an aver, maybe they didn't do an aver, even though the British gave them the Jews, the British gave it to the Jews, the Balfour Declaration, 1948, and then the United States recognized Israel, then the United Nations recognized Israel, so they recognized Israel. Sure. So to say, who doesn't recognize the Arabs? Don't recognize Israel. But the United Nations recognized Israel, so now there's no shot of retaining the control of the government. So some say that, yeah. Some say there's still an issue. You have to give back the government to the Arabs because of the issue. But the Pashto says that's a dead issue. The Pashto says nothing to discuss. Maybe they did an Easter in 1948 establishing the state. Maybe they didn't. Whether they did it, they didn't. The state is there. And there's certainly no violation of the Shvua. Whatever the Shvua means, that the Jews, the Gemara says in the end of Ksuvas, Hishbati Eschem Rosh Yerushalayim, the Torah of Yairah Sassod, and Tirim Torah Sabbat Shatechot. The Gemara speaks about the Shvuas that are mentioned, the six Shvuas. But the Gemara says three Shavuos, and the Gemara says six Shavuos. What were the six Shavuos all about that are referred to in Shir HaShirim? It doesn't say what the Shavuos are all about. The Gemara says that one of those Shavuos was, most of the Shavuos story that the Goyim shouldn't harass the Jews too much. They shouldn't persecute us. They shouldn't persecute us too much. And then there were a couple of Shavuos on our part that we shouldn't grab hold of ourselves. Whatever it is, Lachar HaMaitana. We're not sure whether the Jews violated or didn't violate it. Now we have Eretz. This is called Afchaim Koyin, that Bizman Azeh, Bizman Bali Atesis. It's very dangerous to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Sakonas Hatzrochim. People would die on the way to travel to Eretz Yisrael. And once you get there, it's hard to observe Mitzvah to Yisroel. You may not know the Din, you may be Michshel and eating Tevel. All those reasons don't apply to Bizman Azeh. It's dangerous to live in Eretz Yisrael. More dangerous to live in America. More people being killed in Washington Heights than being killed in... And to say that it's hard to observe kashrus in Eretz Yisrael, it's harder to observe kashrus in Eretz Yisrael than America. It's a little bit of a joke. It's harder to observe kashrus in America than it is in Eretz Yisrael. The reasons that places give don't apply. So these are really two distinct Rambans. You shouldn't confuse the two. They're really unrelated. There's a peladik. There's a beautiful tshuva in the Avinezer, but part of it is a big pele. It has a famous tshuva that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, whether it applies to Zman Hazeh, and if it does, how come the Gdoli HaChassidus was a Chassidus Rebbe? I mean, he was a So how come the Gdoli HaChassidus never went there itself to live there? He has a whole shiva where he explains. We talked about the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvah, which is the wrong Ramban. The Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvah talks about controlling the government of Medina Yisrael, make a Medina. It's a different Ramban. It's a different story. He really means this Ramban, Ramban HaChumash, but the mitzvah to live in Ezra. And that's not a Ramban, that's a dinim that he quotes. That's a dinim of Pesach Shuvah, never has it. That's the Mishnah and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that everybody holds from that. That's the last Mishnah and the Sugya and Ebenezer. That's Laloch. What kind of a mitzvah is it? To live in Eretz Yisrael B'davke. Why should it be a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban says Achumish because all of the mitzvahs have more significance and more meaning in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Lorot. Not only do you have an opportunity to observe mitzvahs that you don't have in Eretz in Chutz Lorot, like Mitzvah HaTzlis Boretz, Moshe Rabbeinu was dying to go there itself. Everyone knows the Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to go there itself. So the Gemara asks in Sota, the end of the first Torah, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go there itself? He left on the period when he's been on the Tuvah. That's why he wanted to have a good time. So the Gemara says that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Otireh, he wanted to sit there. Left him period with his mother too. The Gemara says no, that wasn't his intention. He wanted to observe as many mitzvahs as possible. Like we learned the Gemara just the other day. Oyev mitzvahs leizba mitzvahs oyev kesef leizba kesef Moshe Rabbeinu as many mitzvahs as he had. He wanted to chaparai more mitzvahs. He wanted to observe the mitzvahs of leizba which cannot be fulfilled in chutzpah. So that's what the Gemara says regarding Mitzvah for Yisbar. So the Ramban adds on, he says, but the Pesukim speak about Gilui Arayis and Avodah Zarah and Moilach and Nido, and the Pesukim speak about Tefillin and Mezuzah and Kriya Shema Levadah and Meher of Samtam and Dvar Eilah, the Yikah Shmira Tam Mitzvah and Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says that the Yikah Shmira of all Mitzvahs, not only the Mitzvahs of Yisbar, only apply in our territory to Yisrael. Even the Chodesh HaGuf, which apply in our territory to Chutz Lorentz, the Yikah Shmira Tam Mitzvah, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them a Kehor. The Pesukim and Melachim tell us regarding the Kusim. We want to talk about the Kusim, Geri Arois, Geri Yemes, what's the story? The Kusim were a non-Jewish nation who were brought into Eretz Yisrael by one of the kings, one of the Gerisha kings, and then when they were living in Eretz Yisrael, they were practicing their Avodah Zarah rituals as they used to practice in Chutz Lorentz and Kusa, and then they were attacked by lions. They didn't know why, so they figured out it must be like Kei Haaretz, that the Jewish God is the ruler over Eretz Yisrael, and he wants them to convert to become Jewish. So the Pasuk says that they converted, but they were never Mekabel Ol Mitzvah. So Lahem Hoyu Hovdim, they were Mekabel, they worshipped HaKadosh Baruch, but they continued to worship Avodah Zarah. The Tesis says in several places in the Gemara that that's not a Kabbalah Ol Mitzvah, that they continued to worship their original Avodah Zarah. So the original Geris was certainly not a valid Geris. And Taisha says the Machlekes HaTanaim, whether the Kusim or Geri Arois, there was no Kabbalah on Mitzvah. So no, they were Geri Emes, there was a Kabbalah on Mitzvah. Taisha says claims that the historical Machlekes were later on Achakat Mizgairu Galeib Shoven. But based on the description of the story in Tanakh, Taisha says it was certainly Digoyim Gemur. And certainly Geri Arois, there never was a Kabbalah on Mitzvah. What happened to the Kusim? They lasted on for a long, long time. The times of the Bai Shemi. Mishnayis talk about the Kusim. The Gemara says that after the Churban Abayis, Rav Meir was Gezer Aleihem, that they should be Ka'akim with all the way. Because we saw that some of them were still practicing Avodah Zarah. They stayed throughout all the years from the Kufa before the Bayis Rishon. When were the Kusim? Before Bayis Rishon or during Bayis Rishon? During Bayis Rishon. They were during the Bayis Rishon. They lasted for a few hundred years. Very long time. Till after the Churban Bayis Shem. Very long time. Over a thousand years they lived. And then Rav Meir was Gezer that they all have a din like Ka'akim. Later, yeah. Were they Megayah later, but like Shalom and Nata. So the original Geirus as described in the Pesukim and Melachim was not a valid Geirus. No, he was Goyzer Alein, Mikal Al-Abar. May held that it was Dinam Ki Yisrael, but he had the Din of Jews. There was Geir Yemes, and Mikal Habo, he was Geir Yemes, Dina Kaf. What right did he have to do that is a different thing. How can he declare that a Jew should be Dina Kaf? It's a different question, how does that work? So the Ramban says that based on that pasuk, you see, one could have thought that that's only the Goyim made such a mistake. The Kusim made a mistake, they thought that the God, the Jewish God, is Elokei Haaretz, that somehow he's mocking more in Eretz Yisrael than he is in Chutz Lorentz. The Ramban says, no, that's not a mistake, because the Harai from the lions stopped attacking them after they converted officially, even though they continued to practice Avodah Zarah. And the conversion was not a valid one, the Pasuk says beferish that the lions stopped attacking them. So see that the cheshbon that they made was partially correct. There was some truth to the cheshbon. You see that there is an Indian that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Haaretz. What do you mean is Elokei Haaretz? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaOlam. You have to have a bracha with Shem HaMalchus. The Pasuk says that Malchus means Melech HaOlam. If you just say, Okeinu Melech Haaretz, you're not Yotze. You just say Melech, you're not Yotze. It has to be Melech Ha'olam, the King of the Universe. Otherwise, it's not Malki. So what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Haaretz. So the Ramban says that what it means is that there's more of a Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lorentz. The Pasuk says so. The Pasuk says the famous. Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireishis Hashon about Achris Shana. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives more of a Hashgacha Pratis over Eretz Yisrael then he gives the Chutz Lorentz. And we have a mitzvah in the Torah, Uvois Tidbok. It's a big mitzvah that many people don't know what it is. In addition to all the other mitzvahs that we have, you should let film, you should daven, you should say Krishna, and eat matzah, and mara, and sit in sukkah, and shake a little bit, and so on. There's another mitzvah, Uvois Tidbok, to become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, how do you become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you do that? So the Gemara says, V'chi actually Davik Po, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dei Shalich Lohu. How do you become close? So one Gemara says, "By Sidbok Yitavik the Midos of the means, become close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu by imitating His midos." Ahu Racham Afatoracham, Ahu Chanan Afatochan. Another Gemara says, "By Sidbok Yitavik the Talmidei Chacham." Different ways to become close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramban here says there's another way to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Eretz Yisrael there's more of a Hashgacha process than there is in Chutzlot. Chutzlot is less Hashgacha process. Hashgacha, the Rebbe Shlomo is not as medactic with what the people do. The closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu medactic, there's more comment on the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medactic in Tzadik of the Chut HaSar, the Pasuk says in Ashrei Mois, the Shnei Bnei Aharon die, so Parsha Shmini, the Pasuk says, "V'nigdash b'chvodi." Rashi quotes from the b'mechubodai. "V'nigdash b'chvodi" means b'mechubodai. That another the Aviyu apparently when on a higher madrega, Moshe the Yaharon. That's how Rashi quotes from the Sifra. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu medaktek im tzadika of kechut hastayra. The Gemara has it both l'toyva and l'ro. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has it l'toyva. That rak mechatzid of yishma. The Tanakh has it. Rak mechatzid of yishma. Hakadosh Baruch Hu protects the tzadikim. Even when there's a sakana b'derech hateva, many times Hakadosh Baruch Hu will make a neis, a neis nigla, a neis nista, whatever, and be matzal the tzadik. And you have l'ro. Hakadosh Baruch Hu medaktek im tzadika of kechut hastayra. He punishes them for slight minor averas that for another person he wouldn't have punished so much. You see that the Hashgacha process is not even. It's not spread evenly to all mankind. It's not that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik and everybody, the Toiv and the Ro, on the same degree. Not so. The Tzadikim, who are close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, is Korav Hashem L'chol Kairo. One who's close to Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is closer to him. So that person will have more of a Hashgacha process. So which people are talking close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu? Korav Hashem L'chol Kairo. Who are those who are craving to Hashem? The Bnei Yisrael are certainly close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and Numa Sa'ilah. That's why the Gemara says that a mazal Yisra. The Gemara says in the end of Masechta Shabbos, the whole sugya, that Klal Yisrael is l'mayla ben ateva. The Ramban has a long arichas on Chumash about this. On the psukim, it says the Gemara has so many psukim. One of the earliest psukim is by Avraham Avinu. My Kodesh Baruch Hu says by Yotzei Yosef Hachutzo, and he shows him the stars and he says Kol Yezaracho Tuchalispo. So the Gemara comments on that passage by Yotzei Yosef Hachutzo that the Kodesh Baruch Hu took him out from the whole teva. From all of the system of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tein mit Tzaknina Shalcho, that Ein Mazal Yisrael, that the Jewish nation has more Hashgacha process than the Yom HaTzolim. Yom HaTzolim, Atacha Shlita Tzakechov Ma HaMazol. And the Rein Tzol, Alamayla Min HaTzol. Kvali Tzol, Alamayla Min HaTzol.
Where do you
think about there are certain seasons of the year when it's more mistugel to catch a cold, and other seasons of the year it's healthy, and hay fever season and so on. There are different seasons of the year. The different seasons of the year that the Jews stand a better chance of winning or not. Right? That's the Derech HaTeva. But Klal Yisrael, Derech Klal is L'mayla Min HaTeva, the Umah Yisrael.
Is
that Mazel? That is Mazel. As far as a private person. As far as a private person is concerned, so you should be careful then. It's better to go to a different time. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, we say the whole Klal Yisrael is L'mayla Min HaTeva. And then the Gemara says, even individual people is also tzaddikim, unusual tzaddikim are also l'mayla min ha'teva. So this is derech klal, that Klal Yisrael has more hashgacha process than Yom HaTzolim, and the tzaddikim gemurim have more hashgacha process than the Rebbeinim, than the flame people, Baruch Hashem Chol Kairo. Now the Pasuk tells us another story. The Pasuk says, Eini Hashem Lekech Ebo, Ereshis Hashanah Varach Rishonah. So the Gemara says in Tainus, in the first paragraph, that really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Eretz Yisrael to see, to determine whether Eretz Yisrael needs rain or not. And then he gives rain for Eretz Yisrael. Then Derech Agav, what, the clouds are only going to make it rain in Eretz Yisrael, then it's going to disappear. If it rains here, then the wind has to blow the clouds somewhere. So wherever they blow, wherever they're going to go right, it's going to rain there too. So the Ikar decision, the Gemara says, is based on this passage. The Ikar decision that the Baruch Hu makes up his mind is whether Eretz Yisrael deserves rain or not. That's the Hashgacha process is more shoilet than Eretz Yisrael. And then after Eretz Yisrael gets the rain or whatever, then it may, it's going to rain. The Chutzlos is all that Agav. Like the Gemara has a lot of Mishalim on that daf in the first parak and Tanya's on that test, like you. Gemara has Mishalim. Sometimes you have a whole business, and the business is flourishing, and it's being Matzliach, because there's one person who deserves to have Atzlocha, who's connected with that business. It could be a secretary, it could be the president, it could be one of the workers, could be a delivery man. It's not necessarily the guy who makes the most money in the business, who that I'll peeve. That because of him and his chut, the business is flourishing. Could be because of a zaitigit person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes, the Gemara says, brings rain to a whole region because one person deserves rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings hatzlocha and brocha, a parnasa to a group of people because one individual person in that group deserves it. And the Mela, Derech Agav, he doesn't deserve so much of a brocha that he should be so outstanding that it should rain on his field and it should stop raining with a fence. Over here it should rain and over there it shouldn't rain. such a tzaddik gomer, he isn't, so he deserves rain, so the Baruch Hu causes it to rain. But he doesn't deserve to be so tzaddik. So Mela, once it rains in the whole country, it rains in the whole continent, whatever. But many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the decision is that he, that one person deserves rain. So the Gemara has this discussion in connection with this pasuk about Eretz Yisrael, that really when Rabban Shalom decides about rain for the world, the Igud decision is how much rain Eretz Yisrael needs. And then, agav Eretz Yisrael, the Rabban Shalom is going to give rain and good weather to the rest of the world as well. So the Gemara says in this concept, in this idea, that the Hashgacha process is not spread out evenly to all human beings. Klal Yisrael has more Hashgacha process than human soil, and the tzaddikim within Klal Yisrael have more Hashgacha process than the other Beinonim and the other people. The Gemara says in an Eretz Yisrael, whoever it is, whether Klal Yisrael or the tzaddikim, have more of a Hashgacha process than they would have had if they were living in Chutz Lachutz. More of a Hashgacha process. So that's why one who lives in Eretz Yisrael is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what David HaMelech said when he was running away from Shaul, that he was afraid Shaul was going to kill him. So he had it on the Chutz Lachutz, that he'd come in. So the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis, the Kol Ador Beretz Yisrael, Kilo Yesh Lo Aloka. Kol Ador Bechutz Laaretz, Kilo Ein Lo Aloka. What do you mean, Kilo Yesh Lo, Kilo Ein Lo? He's not worshipping Avodah Zarah. When he goes to Chutz Laaretz, he's not worshipping Avodah Zarah. So what does he say? Leich Avod Elohim Acher. What he means to say is that there's less Hashgacha Protis in Chutz Laaretz than there is in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a fulfillment. This is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of avoy tzibbo. Everybody has this mitzvah mutalola to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever possible way we have at our disposition, whenever we have the opportunity and the availability. So we should always come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramban writes in Chumash that one way to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by living in Eretz Yisrael, because the Hashgach and Eretz Yisrael are stronger than it is in Chutz Lachutz. They weren't able to. That's what the Avnei Nezer talks about. You're not able to. You're not. Let's say a guy who lives in Eretz will live off of welfare. He'll have to live off of donations that are sent from Chutz Lachutz. So then the Avnei Nezer says he doesn't have this special Hashgacha process. Special Hashgacha, the stronger form of Hashgacha process, is only found in Eretz Yisrael if he lives off of an economy of Eretz Yisrael. But if he just, let's say, a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets checks from America. He gets his Social Security checks from America. So the Avnei Nezer says he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, this special mitzvah of being closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov came back from Aram Nahar, from Chutz Lachutz, and he met Esav, so he gave Esav all of the matonis. He said, all of this is nichsei Chutz Lachutz, and ein nichsei Chutz Lachutz kidai li. Rashi and Chumash quotes, ein nichsei Chutz Lachutz kidai hem li. What does that mean? But you have the Nezer interprets based on this, based on a Zohar, based on all the Gemaras and the Shamban, that if a person strikes it rich in Chutz Lachutz, then he goes to Eretz Yisrael and he has his money with him, and he lives off of Chutz Lachutz digging money, so where do you see that he's living on a higher level of Hashgacha Pratis? A higher level of Hashgacha Pratis means that his parnasa is earned in Eretz Yisrael. So he does something in Eretz Yisrael. He's Mekayim in the midst of Yishuv Haaretz. Let's say when a rich Jew comes from America to Eretz Yisrael, and he buys an apartment there, so he gives a lot of people jobs there, so he's helping the economy of Eretz Yisrael. And he buys in his local grocery shop, and he buys in the supermarket, whatever. He buys food there, he buys clothing, he buys furniture. So he's helping out the economy, so he has that mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. But does he have a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? There are two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah of grabbing hold of the government of Eretz Yisrael and building up the land. That's one mitzvah. There's another mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, bodily, physically, to live in Eretz Yisrael. That mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban and them, they need to have a long halichas dvarim, that mitzvah is in order to lead a life with a stronger form of Hashgacha Pratis. If the guy comes with his millions from Chutz Lachutz and just puts it in a bank and just lives off of the income, the check keeps on coming from America, whatever, so where is he living on a higher level of Hashgacha Pratis? Everything is all taken care of. See, that's why Yankov gave away all of the earnings, all the money that he made in Chutz Lachutz, he gave away before he came to Eretz Yisrael. He has to have to make new money now in Eretz Yisrael. That's called living in a Hashgacha Pratis, living in a higher level of Hashgacha Pratis. Let's say a guy teaches in yeshivas, he's also teaching something, he's making a living, he's doing something. Well, let's say the Rebbe, that's what the Avnei Nezer says. Chassidus Rebbe, if the Rebbe can take over Chassidus Eretz Yisrael, and he can travel Rabbis to Eretz Yisrael, the Chassidim will make a living there, and then they'll support the Rebbe, so the Rebbe has a job, he's a Rebbe. That's what he does for a living, like he made a living in Chutz Lachutz, he makes a living in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rabbis, that's his life. Like, yeah. Like a Rebbe in Yeshiva is called a Ram, no? So one guy yes to another one, what does he do for a living? Ani Osek Baramahut. if he was living in Eretz Yisrael, he'd be Isaac in his rabbis for living, but the Rebbe says that was out of the question. The only question would be maybe the Rebbe should go to Eretz Yisrael, the Siddim should stay in Poland and they should send him checks, and then the Rebbe wouldn't be Yaitz in the Mitzvah either. He's not Yaitz in the Mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't indicate the higher level of Ashgacha Pratis that he gets the checks and puts
well. The whole thing of Ashgacha Pratis is money.
Yeah, Parnassus. Yeah, but the question is, does the person rely more? Is he really close to Hashem or is he faking? The guy living in Arizona, he gets paid more. Let's say a guy's in a top-notch Kurl and so he gets paid more than a Kurl in YU. So it shows that he's closer to the Moshon because he lives in Arizona. No, he lives there because he gets a better job. He gets paid more money there. So is that really an indication of closeness to Hashem? So that's what we say, a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael and gets all of his money from Chutz Lares and he has no dying in the Kapanasa there, so then this is not an indication of his reliance on the fact that he's close to Hashem. He's not relying more on Parnasa than Hashem. But if he lives in Eretz Yisrael, he has a job, so then we say that we assume that since his Parnasa is coming from Eretz Yisrael, then he has this closer relationship with Hashem. Well, he has more of a Hashgacha Pratis.
Stop the point of saying,
no, then the Rambam says that he's not fulfilling. He's fulfilling a different mystery. He's supporting the economy. It's a different thing, like paving the roads, like building houses. That mystery he's doing. But that's what he's doing by living in America also. I can send checks to Israel to pave the roads and still build buildings. But the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael means to live under the Hashgacha of the Rebbe Shlomo. More of a Hashgacha, so the Zohar says that because the Zohar says that the living under the Hashgacha, the extra Hashgacha process has to do with your thoughts of Parnassus. If your Parnassus comes from Eretz Yisrael, then you have this special Hashgacha Pratis.
Yes,
but the Parnassus is not. Yeah.
Does that mean that, I'm getting back to the case, if you have a millionaire, so he has no extra, if he's gonna send his money to Eretz Yisrael anyway, so, or the Jews in America will all buy, you know, bonds or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they have no extra mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that kind of...
That's what the rabbi said. That's what the rebbe says in his tshuva. He says unless some of his parnasa will come from Eretz Yisrael. So some parnasa from Eretz Yisrael.
But I mean, there's still a mitzvah to be in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the fact is, even though a Jew is being
that's what he discusses. So why is there a mitzvah to be in Eretz Yisrael? The mitzvah to be in Eretz Yisrael is because it comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you become closer? But you have more of a Hashgacha process in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz Lares. Why do you have more of a Hashgacha process? Because it's Zohar that it has to do with Parnassus. If your Parnassus is in Eretz Yisrael, then you have an extra Hashgacha process. If your Parnassus, if you are physically, bodily in Eretz Yisrael, but your Parnassus is in Eretz Yisrael, your Shefa from Chutz Lares, then he says there's no Hashgacha process. Mahalach Dalar Amit, okay, that's a mitzvah mitzvah. So that mitzvah he has also. The one who lives in Eretz Yisrael gets a check from Chutz Lares like visiting. Okay, you get that mitzvah, yeah? Yeah. All the mitzvahs are okay. How do you get told? How do you get told?
All the mitzvahs.
That's once he has a panos in Eretz Yisrael, he has a strong Hashgacha Pratis. The one who has Hashgacha Pratis, a strong Hashgacha Pratis, is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any mitzvah that he does is enhanced and is considered in addition to the tefillin label. He's also fulfilled the mitzvah of a voice tibbo. Because he did this film in such a way that he became close to Tzad Kodesh Baruch.
When Arman said that he's close to more to stop in Eretz Yisrael, not only says in the positive that it's more in Eretz Yisrael, he also says in the negative that when you're close to Arman, you also don't have as much.
Right. I thought he meant in the negative for Averis. He says Mechomish for Averis. That Eretz Yisrael will be cooked. Like Tzad Kodesh Baruch.
No.
The negative also, and that Chutz Lares is less Hashgacha Pratis. Right.
And that's, but also in terms of
Kiyam
Mitzvah, there's no
Kiyam Mitzvah, so it's not the full Kiyam Mitzvah, because the tachlis of all Kiyam Mitzvah is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not something to do mechanical acts. And the person can't really become that close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he's still a good one. Right? Become close, then
that's the Kiyam
Mitzvah.
But
Rambam
still says that there is
Kiyam Mitzvah. About it there is. You're mechuyim to do the Mitzvah, since Chutz Lares men atayim. Achayim sagu. Rambam just says, whatever Mitzvah you do in Chutz Lares, when you do them in Eretz Yisrael, they're more enhanced. It's more of a, even a lavim, even in Gidei Arayis and Avodah Zarah, everything, whatever you observe in Eretz Yisrael, is more enhanced, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Haaretz. It means that there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. Shaila was, let the chassidim stay in Yod and spend money that the Rebbe should live there. The Rebbe would just physically live in Eretz Yisrael and get money from Chutz Lars, so that's not the full Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's like visiting Eretz Yisrael. So
they
visiting. No, but they it wouldn't be a sufficient Kiyum HaMitzvah. It wouldn't be a full Kiyum
HaMitzvah. What kind of Rebbe would it be? He's in Eretz Yisrael.
It says it wasn't feasible. They didn't have any, there was no way to make a financial. Years ago, in the days of the Iron Age, those who lived there in Seoul just lived off of Chalukah. They lived off of Tzedakah that was sent there to Seoul. But it is feasible, man. The Shaila is about the other Ramban, that's the serious issue. About the Ramban, this Ramban Achum is Mr. Gantz fine, everybody agrees to this. Her, nobody disagrees. Avnei Neizu said, this is quoted La Locha. This is quoted La Locha, this Ramban. This is Mishke Chiddush of the Ramban. Shaila is the other Ramban in Seifan Mishkir. He claims, V'loi Nadvena B'yadzu L'Aseinu, that the Yerish Lamot of Yishabtamor is not merely Ohiru Ashur to Yoshua Benun, that they should conquer the Zayin Anonim, and they should control the Leah and make a Jewish government. So that's a mitzvah, ledoro, so that's, Shaila, is that really true or not? So that's talking to Gehla Dina. Because the Minhaschina, that's the Gehla Dina now, let's say. The Minhaschina points out that although Pikroch Nefesh is doicha kolakar kulo, but we see clearly Pikroch Nefesh is not doicha mitzvah, smilchem is Zayin Anamim. So it says we should go into Eretz Yisrael, we should fight the Zayin Anamim. So why not say, fight? Make a war, fight Zayin Anamim. Someone's going to get killed. So if a Nes occurs, and no Jewish soldiers will be lost. What if a Nes will not occur? Back in the Torah require of us that we should go fight the Zayin Anamim to wage a war and do a mitzvah of conquering Eretz Yisrael and controlling the government, that somebody may get killed, and if one Jewish life may get killed, even if it's in the distant future, it's already a din. That self would be called nefesh, is derech kol ha'Torah kulo. Then the Halachina says, obviously, it's not derech this mitzvah. Mitzvah of Mochem Zayin Anamim is not mitzvah, it's not derech nefesh. That's by the very nature of the mitzvah, you see, like that. Rizkarov has a chumash, he writes like that. That is, it was printed by the Minhaschina before the Bishra. On the mitzvah of Leisachai Kol Neshama. A mitzvah of waging war against the Zayin Anamim. And the Bishra Rav has it on the Haftarah of Bishalach, I think. On Shiraz Devorah, no? Naftali Al-Mirom Mesara. And as the person says, Vula Nam Cheirat Nafshal Amut. Naftali Al-Mirom Mesara. The Bishra Rav comments on the Pasuk. What do you mean, Vula Nam Cheirat Nafshal Amut? Shevet Zvulun. Was Moshe Nefesh to fight in the war? So because Nefesh is Beicher, why should there be Moshe Nefesh to lose life? Why should anybody in the army be Moshe Nefesh to lose his life to fight a war? So because Nefesh is Beicher, so go home, don't fight the war. The din is because Nefesh is Beicher. That's what the Biskarov writes in the Sefer Achumish, what the Minhaschina wrote, there is before, that the din is that because Nefesh is not Beicher, this mitzvah, whenever the Torah has a mitzvah, Smucham, it's because Nefesh is obviously not Beicher, that's the very nature of the mitzvah. So the Shad is, let's say now, If the Israeli government will give up part of the land that they have, according to the Ramban, they're losing a mitzvah. The Yerushalayim also be shaftim. Ramban says that's one of the Tayyar mitzvahs. But they want to give up the land in order to save Jewish life. So that's what the Menachinah and the Biskarov say. You know, let's do that. That's, the mitzvah always involves losing lives. If Hashem says someone's going to get killed, the mitzvah requires that you actually lose
lives.
Let's say you have a section of land, and the Arabs have surrounded the people in that section, and then they say, "Edi, give up, or we're going to kill every single person." So then, of course, there's no mitzvah. You reach the Moshe B'Shaftim Bo to lose every life. You're not going to fulfill the mitzvah anyway. That's ultimately going to lose the land anyway. If militarily, the military experts claim that they can't continue to hold on to this land. They're going to lose it even now, or in 5 years, or in 20 years, or 50 years, they're going to have to give up this land. Ultimately, they're going to have to give it up. But ultimately, they have to give it up. So then their insistence on holding on to the land now. So what do you mean they're carrying the mitzvah now? Maybe in 50 years, maybe now they should hold on to the land. But let's say if in the immediate future, the military experts say they're going to lose it anyway. So then there's no mitzvah that everybody should fight to give up their land. What are they fighting for? You have to fight for this mitzvah, you wish the most of the shaftim. But if the military experts say, not true, that if they'll fight, they'll every year they'll lose lives, but they'll retain the land. The Arabs will never get back the land. But then according to the Minhas Chinuch and the Bris Kerov, if you hold the Ramban is right, so then you have a mitzvah that you have to fight to retain Eretz Yisrael. The Shadrach is the Ramban la'alacha. Ramban is right, the Shadrach we pass like him. Ramban is right, every other thing we can find. We pass like him that there is such a mitzvah, we reach the most of the Shachim. Maybe that's only how Rosh Hashanah to Yeshua ben Nun. But the first door, they should go conquer the Zion Army. And they should grab control of the Jewish of the government. They should make a Jewish government over this whole area. Maybe it's not a mitzvah with those. That's a shame. So in Eretz Yisrael, they claim a lot of Rabbanim, a lot of Zionist Rabbanim claim, "Kvanifsika halacha kaharamban." He said, "Oh yeah, that's a shame. If it's nifsika halacha kaharamban, then there's no way out." Then the Bris Kerov and the Minhas Chinuch say that they have to keep on fighting if they think they're going to win, and they have to fight. To keep all the territory. But that's the Shaila. Who says that it's Nipsik Allah and Keramban? Yeah. If you make a realistic shekel that the whole Medina will be better. Al Medina will have a more normal living if they give back. So it will also be part of the Yerish Tamos of Yishatim. But the Shaila is the only shikul is that they're going to lose more lives, which has a devastating effect, but it's not still, life keeps on going. Everybody else is continuing. So then Mechor, the others are right. That's, you know, so the Shaila boils down to this, whether you're passing like that Ramban or not. That is the question. There's a very interesting prospect also. And Parshas Kedosh. Before that one, yeah. Well, to determine what the facts are. Yeah. Why do you have to have the military, huh? Unless you have someone who's a Navi. Someone's a Navi, we don't have credit, so he knows better than the military. Otherwise, you have to be the expert. No, there's a Shaila in Achrayim. To what extent do the doctors have pneumonics? So that some Sofer claims in several children in Hilchas Nida, it's very again Hilchas Nida. Let's say a woman is Roya Dam, and the doctor says it's not Dam Nida. It's something else. It's not Dam from the lining, it's something else. So how does he know? If he looks inside and he sees what it is, okay. But let's say he's not able to look. Now they have now the doctors can look inside. Years ago they didn't have such expertise like that today. But the Shabbos, what the doctor says that medically he's been ascertained based on whatever he has, the other symptoms of the woman, she's nauseous, she's this, she's that. She gives a paskin of what she has. It's something other than dam and amok. So does the doctor believe or not? So if some sefer claims in a tshuva, the doctors don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're all crazy. They're making up things. They don't know what they're talking about. He says that the doctors only have pneumonis that such a thing exists. That such a sickness exists. Or the doctors have pneumonis that it's a suffix over here. Let's say the doctor says that this guy doesn't eat on Yom Kippur, he's going to die. So then we allow the person to die because it's a suffix before Namish. But the doctor says a suffix. But to say that it's a vaday that night, the doctor only has pneumonis with vaday to say that such a thing exists. If such a sickness exists, the chlal, but he should pass it up on this person, that this person will bevadai die, or bevadai live, or bevadai damin amok, or bevadai not damin amok, or the Sanskrit claims that doctors are not men or not. And he has this in a lot of tshuvas. He has this whole attack. He doesn't hope in the doctors too much. He says that the medical science is not so good. He has a lashon, v'chi eino v'libo sham, v'chi eino v'libo sham, if the doctors see what's going on there. That's what the later postmen say, that Bismana said, that the doctors can see. They just look inside the woman's body and they can see where the dam is coming from. So even a Sam Soiva would agree, yes? Ain't no Velibo Sham? That's the Lashon of that Sam Soiva. But that's what he's trying to say. Ain't no Velibo Sham? What is it you have? Roch HaKadosh, how does he know? He says the only Neman to create a Safek, that's why for Michal Shabbos time and eating on Yom Kippur, or is Neman that such a thing exists Bichlal, but not Bifrat. It's not Neman on the Bifrat. So other Rachmanim disagree. Many other Rachmanim disagree. Roy Rachmanim disagree. The Avnei Nezer is one. He has strong tshuva against. And the Maharam Shik, interesting, Maharam Shik is a Talmud. Talmud of some Sefer says he's against the Gemara and Makkas, Dach Chodesh. He just learned it the other day. Mishnah says in Makkas that you make an Omed. What's the Omed? The doctors say if this guy gets 39 Malkas, he will not die. If he gets 45, then he'll die. If he gets 39, he will not die. How can you rely on the doctors to say he will not die? It's only a suffix. But the doctors say in a specific case, it's only a suffix. They say in general that there are people who can take 39 miles. That's fine. But then when they say specifically that this man will not die, how can you rely on them? How can you... If it looks like he's strong like a horse, then there's no suffix. But if the guy looks a little shaky, so how can you rely on that? When do you make an omen? If he looks that he's half sick anyway, he's not too healthy. How can you rely on the omen? If the doctors, they say he will not die, he can take all 39 malkas, maybe it's a suffix, maybe they're not right. You see the favorites from the Mishnah that the omen of the doctors is Ben Lahakha Ben Lahakhmer. Then he finds he see. So who makes the omen? Bal Ruch HaKadosh. I mean, the Bez, not the doctors.
Okay. What's the problem with the doctors?
It's not the problem that they don't have smicha or that they do have smicha, but they have an MD with it that ruins the smicha. He says no one knows. The medical science is not sufficiently developed. You should rely on them, the vadois, on a prat, on a specific case. So the Maram Sheikh says against the Mishnah, then he says against the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Iksuvas. The Gemara says Sanhedrin and Iksuvas. We were discussing the other day when we talked about Rav Chaim, it says in Parshas Masi it says, in the chli eitz yar asher yomuz bo hiko, in the even asher yomuz bo hiko. Why is it asher yomuz bo? The Gemara says in Perek Merubah that you need an omer in order to give me. Say, you need an omer. What do you mean you need an omer? So the doctors say that if you throw this at that guy, he can get killed. And then based on what the doctors say, we give this guy miso. How do you give him miso based on what the doctors said? Maybe the doctors made a mistake. Maybe he's stronger. Maybe he shouldn't have died from this. The doctors only believe the chlal and the frat, they only believe the teres suffix, not the teres vadai. So how can you give misa? How can you give an einish misa? That's what he tells. So he says that you have kama the kama rice against the samsa. That's what he has in his tshuva. The minig was in Europe when they made a heta, made rabbanim. So the rabbanim who would be masking to the heta would always write a shtikul teret. It wouldn't stam right. Heta made rabbanim means, let's say, a man is married and his wife is nishtatis. His wife became senile or became whatever. She lost her mind, so let's say she's institutionalized, and there's no normal life going on, there's no marriage going on. So the husband wants to take another wife. So he can't divorce his wife because she's a lav bas das. A sheita ain't a misgaresh. So he can't give a get to a sheita. If you give a get, she's mishalcha v'chayzeres. So the get is no good min atorah. He can't marry another wife because of the chem that ben gerush, and it's also lisa yisha alishpa. He's not allowed to take a second wife. So what do? He's stuck. He's in prison. So the Rabbeinu Gershom made a clause in his takon. He said, there's only a chem the Rabbeinu Gershom shelo lisa yisa lishto, not to marry a second wife, only if it's a normal case. But if it's such a situation where the wife is mishtatis, and you have 100 Rabbanim from 3 Medinas, Meir Rabbanim, Megimel Medinas, will be masking to be matter this man, to remarry. So then when matter the chem the Rabbeinu Gershom, we allow the person to marry another wife. You can't be matter him to divorce his wife. The get will be possible in Atera, the Gemara says. If she's Mishalcha v'chazer, she doesn't understand what Gerushin is all about, but then the get is no good. But if the Meir Rabbanim are masking, so then you mata the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. Yaktav Gimel Medinas. No, 33. It doesn't even have to be. It can be 1 and 98. It doesn't have to be evenly spread out. Some possible say it has to be evenly spread out. We don't pass like that. As long as having Gimel Medinas. Charlie, what's called Gimel Medinas? What's called Gimel Medinas? What reason? So it was his takana. He said, if you make a hetan erabonim, the Gimel Medinas will be muta. Why? Why did he say hetan erabonim? Why did he say Gimel Medinas? Shaila. So the pastor discussed. Some say that he had, the story goes, some of my friends, that he had 99 rabbanim together when he made his statement. He was a big honor. So he said, if you want to be matamachem, you need a better than God of the Chachma Dominion, greater than my days. The girl of the Chachma, he was anonymous, he said that any 100 Rabbanim would be great. He just one dominion. He said 100 Rabbanim, it's more than 100. He had less than 100. He had 99. He said, if you have 100 Rabbanim, we'll assume that it'll be greater the Chachma dominion than my day. That's our assumption. Whatever. The Shaila the Gimel Medinas. Why did he insist on Gimel Medinas? So that's the whole literature in Achrayim. What the Gimel Medinas is supposed to represent. So the Achrayim get a pilpul about it. So Shaila, how does it apply today in America? Like, do you have to have New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut is Gimel Medinas, or it's not Gimel Medinas? It's all the same. What do you say? That even Borough Park and Washington Heights and Far Rockaway are Gimel Medinas? No. You can have, yeah, you can have a lot of people get ahead of them. Yeah, let's say the woman is institutionalized, she's sick, a doctor says there's no way for her to get cured, so the government will allow the person to remarry. Then in addition to the Heter Amdina, he needs a Heter Meirabah. Some Rishonim say the Mechaber quotes one opinion, the Cherem ran out in the year 5000. That was a long time ago. That was 743 years ago. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes that even though it ran out, the Ramah writes, some disagree that it didn't run out, and he didn't make it at Sefer Elik, he didn't make it till the year 5000. Others disagree that even though it did run out, we still practice it today, not a Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershom. The minig is that we still have the Mekabla on our own, this Chayim. Shalom Itam Rabbeinu Gershom. He didn't know in the distant future what's going to happen. He made a Takana Lidoro for 100 years or so, for a couple of 100 years, because he thought that it would be necessary. He didn't know what's going to happen in 1,000 years. No, they knew. Well, the Mechaber writes that it ran out, and then the Ramah writes that the Rishonim knew that it ran out, and they still continued to observe it. In the year 5000. Yeah. So we are Mekabel Aron. Half minute, we observe the Chevron Rabbeinu Yerushalmi. It's not binding Mitam, the original Chevron. It should be bottled for good. So they say no, they don't want to uproot it completely. They don't want to uproot it, Legabi, this particular case. Yeah. So when you have a Hetamei Rabban, usually what you do is you have three Rabban and meet the woman and meet the man. They see whether it's really authentic, whether she really is in a status or not. And they speak to the doctors to find out what chance, let's say, the woman is temporarily insane. And they're going to give her some medication, and in the afternoon she'll feel all right. So she can't make a Hetamei Rabban. He needs a wife in the morning for breakfast. That's how a wife can make a breakfast. If she's just sick for a couple of days, or just sick for half a year or so, 2 years, and this gefällt. But if doctors say that there's really no chance of her getting cured, so then you make a Hetamei Rabban. So the Shaila is, how do you rely on doctors? Maybe the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. So the minig was in Europe then when they made a Hetamei Rabban, so three Rabbanim would check into the case, and they'd speak to the woman, and speak to the man, and speak to the doctors, and check all the documents and so on. And then they'd write up the whole case, what it was, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and they spoke to this doctor and that doctor, and they don't think there's any hope of the woman getting cured and so on. And then they'd send this out in the mail, and they'd get another 97 Rabbanim to be masking from three different Medinas to be masking with the head. So in Europe, the minig was now in America, the minig is they just send it out, and the rabbis just sign on the dotted line. Those who want to sign, those who don't sign, don't sign. Some have a policy, they never sign a Hetamei Rabbanim. Others do sign. They just sign it and mail it back in. And in Europe, the practice was you don't just sign a Hetamei Rabbanim. Matachem just by signing, you have to write a whole shtickle tape. So the European Rabbanim, they write a whole thing, some of them would just write Von the Talim. Now there's been right the whole Kiddush. So one of the early tshuvos in the Maram Shik in Chelek Eben Ezer is about a Hetamei Rabbanim. So he writes, L'Charet is nothing to discuss. L'Charet's an open and shut case. He read the whole story. The woman is institutionalized. The doctor said he's not no help and so on and so forth. So there's nothing to discuss. But he writes the minigism, you have to shrive on Ashtigal Torah. So he'll shrive on. So he starts writing, well, maybe we shouldn't rely on the doctors. Maybe the Chassam Sofer is right. Maybe we shouldn't rely on the doctors. Maybe you don't know what they're talking about. Just make it like a suffix. It's not a vadai. It's a neman bichlal, not bifrat. So then he goes ahead to prove the Chassam Sofer is wrong. Then he has another taina. How did the Rabbanim know that the doctors say that the woman will never get cured? They didn't speak to the doctors in each case. They got a letter. The husband showed them a letter from the hospital that was signed by the doctors on the hospital stationery. So he says, maybe the letter is mizuyif. So what's the din? Are you choshish lizuyif or not? So I mean, I tell you, you're not choshish mizuyif. The Rabbanim, you are choshish mizuyif. So what about in this case? It says the chashash from the rabban nazir from Pai. He goes in the whole tilpul over there, and then he comes to the conclusion that you're not chashash vizir, and then he's masking for the hetem rabban. So he's masking. That was his. I think it's tshuva base, the tshuva gimel, one of the early tshuvas. So one of his makaris against the chsam sefer is this mishnah in Makkos and Dafkot Beis, but they made an omen. Made an omen. We assume that they know what they're talking about. Is it safek? How can you give him? How can you give him 39 malchus or 13 monks? Maybe he'll die in the middle. How do you every lie on omen? What does he do when she get? If she ever gets better? Yeah. When you make the head the mayor abonim, no, he's not megaris. She can't be megaris in the shaytah. The wife is a shaytah. But the practice is that we have. The practice we have is that the husband writes a get. The husband authorizes the sefer to write a get. And they put the get the way the mashla should get. And you only give a head to mayor abonim if you put away the get. You put away the amount of the ksuba also. A large sum of money. He's supposed to. They don't always do that, but that's what it says in the original nusach of the chem de rabbeinu Gershom. If he wants to be matter chem de rabbeinu Gershom, meaning head to meir abarim, give him a dinis, and you mashlish the ksuba, mashlish to get at the shaylach need, but you have to be mashlish the amount of the ksuba, so that if the woman ever gets cured, you give her the get and you give her her money.
How much is the minimum?
Sometimes it happened when a woman got cured, she found out that she got divorced, she committed suicide. More than one. So that's my Meir Rabbanim don't like to ever get involved in a Hetem Meir Rabbanim. They don't want to be responsible for any woman committing suicide.
Did it go against the first one or the second one?
For the first one.
Oh.
Yeah. So if she ever gets better, so they give it a get. They can't give it a get now because she's in a state of nishtatis. So then the Mishlam Melech has the whole. In the Magia, the Mishlam Melech, in the parentheses, in the Mishlam Melech, written by the author of Meyam Loes, so he has Anagol Shpikoch Teredin. So he writes that they had a whole machlegis between the Chachmei Constantina and Constantinople. They had a whole machlegis that the husband authorized the exceedance I get at the time that the wife was in the status. Maybe that get is never good to be in the garish boy. Since at the time that the get was written, she was not in the space of accepting the get. So maybe even later, if she becomes healthy again, she understands what a get is. Maybe that's a lack of lishma. Maybe it's felt from lishma. If the get at the time that it was written couldn't have been given, it's like mechusik tzitza. If you write a get, and at the time that you write it, it couldn't have been given yet because you had to cut it off first. It was a ketina. So then the Gemara says it's no good because it lacks the shema, so maybe this one is also no good. That's what the Achrayim say. The proper practice should be when you make a hetamir abonim, the husband should authorize it safer to write a get now. Just put away the amount of the ksuba. Then if the woman ever gets better, you give her this get, and then you insist the husband should write another get. Give the other get later.
Isn't that you give get on Parker?
Yes, and I'll give a get on Parker. We will matter him though. We will matter him to be remarried. He may remain with his second wife. He married a beheta.
What's the status of his relationship
between
him and his first wife?
First wife. He's still married to her. He's still mechuyev to support her. As long as she doesn't receive the get, he's still mechuyev to support her.
So theoretically, if she refuses to accept the get, what happens if he doesn't want to get the get? And he says,
when
he gets better, he realizes
he's
less
or whatever, and he doesn't want to get better. And he wants to divorce his second wife.
Well,
and what does she say? What does the second wife say? Keep the both, he's not a lassim. We're only not to the chenir while she's still in the state of nishtat.
And what happens if she doesn't want to get
and the second wife doesn't want to either. The second wife doesn't want to get divorced first, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good shayla. You got to look in Ebenezer, see what it says. There's another pasuk at the end of Parashas Kedoshim before you get to the Lasaki Ha'aret Eschem. The pasuk reads in Perek Chav, pasuk Zayin, "Yiskadishtem Yisum Kedoshim Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem." So the Tolda Sarin, who refers you to all the Ma'am Kainish and Shah, tells you that there's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Gimel on this pasuk. What does the Gemara Darshan in Brachas Daf Nun Gimel? So the Mishnah Brura quotes Huf Chayala. That's the first Mishnah Brura that we Darshan from the pasuk "Yiskadishtem Yisum Kedoshim." What does it mean that it's an Indian of Kedusha to wash my machronim? Why is it an Indian of Kedusha? So the Gemara has a lashon of brachas kishem shemizuham basal avoda kachi zayim mizuham with psulus libracha. So it's like an animal that's a mizuham. The pasuk says in the beginning of Vayikra, mina boker. It hasn't said adam ki akriv nikem karvan Hashem. Mina boker, mina stone takriv. It says min a few times, six times I think. So Rashi comments on the Pesukim in the very beginning, what is every min memayit? So one of them is memayit, a chayla zakin and mezuham. Mezuham means a filthy animal, a dirty animal. Even on a balmum, you're not allowed to bring it as a carbon on the base of the image. So the Gemara has a lotion, the shame she mizuham pasul la'avodah kach yadayim mizuhamay psulos libracha. If a person's hands are dirty, he's not allowed to say a bracha. Which bracha is he not allowed to say? He's not allowed to say birchas hamazon. He's not allowed to say any bracha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here. Let's say the guy's in the middle of the meal, and listen, this is Bizman HaGemara. They didn't have any spoons and forks. We used to eat the food with the hands. It's a very recent invention. No? Well, when did they invent the spoons and forks? I think it's 200 years old or so. Very recent. So recently there was no such thing as spoons and forks. They used to eat mamish with their hands. So let's say a guy's in the middle of the meal. Some people still not very the new iconic. So let's say guy's in the middle of the meal and his fingers are all sticky. So the Mishnah Berurah writes on page 171, it's called Mechav Gimel. He says, let's say the guy's in the middle of the meal, he's not holding by benching yet, but he wants to have a cup of wine. Whatever he eats in the middle of the meal is covered with the hamoitzi in the beginning. When he said hamoitzi, he had to wash until he died my mishon before he said hamoitzi. After he says hamoitzi, he doesn't say any more brachas in the middle of the meal. Let's say in the middle of the meal, he brings him wine and he has to say about piagoch and anan. He was just eating and his fingers are all sticky. So then the Mishnah Berurah says he needs my machrenim before he says the bracha on the wine. Or let's say not only wine, let's say he has dessert, then he says shahakal on the ice cream. He takes a drink of schnapps in the middle of the meal that has unrelated to everything else in the meal. The schnapps is not dvar maboy machnas hasudah. Or he has cake at the end of the meal, and we learn sometimes you say boyim in mizayis on the cake at the end of the meal. So whenever you have to recite another bracha, love that benching. Whenever you have to recite another bracha, you have to wash netilos yadayim my machren to take off the zuham off from the hands. That's what he quotes from Chav Gimel. Kotzu ha'achrenim shafil erotzu levorach alayayin alperiz b'yem talsude tzok lekancha mikoydem kimish yodem ulochlok is that taloch is the kishem shemizuham pasul la'avayda kach yadayim zuham is psulos ledroch. Throughout the Gemara, the original din of my machrenim, that's an extension of the din. The original din goes on benching mizuman. Benching mizuman. So who is the one who's going to bench mizuman? So in times of the Gemara, only one person would say the bench mizuman. Bench mizuman, one would recite the bracha, the others would say, Amen. So that's why this din of Yadayim Mizuham Psulus Lebracha only applies to the one person who's going to be the mizamein. Bizman Hazeh, everybody benches mizuman. Bizman Hazeh, even when we bench mizuman, everybody says the whole birchas hamazon. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Today, may Hanochim Shliyom Hamitzudin call Bracha Bracha Balach Shem Hamavarach. Kedaisa Lekama Mitzvah Kuf Pei Gimel Siv Zayin. Why? Why is it a proper practice that everybody should bench alone? So the Shulchan Aruch says because today people don't really pay so much attention to someone else's bracha. Nigra then you say Shemei Koinen. So if one person says the benching, I can be saved by saying Amen. And the Shulchan Aruch recommends that everybody should say along word for word with the other person. Because we don't always pay attention. That's what it says by halal also. They halal on Yom Tovim. So the Chazan says, Hoy Lashem Kitoy Kiliyom. Chazan, everybody screams out, Hoy Lashem Kitoy Kiliyom. Then the Chazan says, Yom Anu Yisrael Kiliyom. Everybody says, Hoy Lashem Kitoy Kiliyom. So, but they didn't say that. You have Amir of Amir. They insert the Amir of Hoy Lashem Kitoy, even though it's not written over there in the Pasuk in Tilling. Fine, so you've added something on, but you haven't said the Pasuk itself. And the Gemara says that the Sefer says the Menachas that whenever you have to say Halal Shalom, every word is marked. So how can it be that only the Chazan says Yomana Yisrael, Yomana Beis Aharon, Yomana Yirei Hashem, and the Kohol doesn't say that? How would they Yotze? So the Gemara says the Yotze with Shemei Koina. The Chazan says Yomuna, Yomana, and the Kohol listens, and the Yotze the Pasuk as if they had said it themselves, and then they say the Amir, the Amir, Hoyd Loshem Kitan Kiliyon Chaz. So Tosis Kohol, Tosis writes and is quoting the Shulchan Aruch like that, that Bizman Hazeh. So we don't always pay attention to the other people. So when the other people are saying things, so it's hard to rely on Shemei Koine. They said by Kiddush and Avdolah, we do rely on Shemei Koine. We don't insist that every person should recite his own Kiddush and Avdolah. But by benching Mizumen, it's too long to concentrate for some. So by Hadal also, sometimes it's not too orderly. And while I'm saying Hadal Hashem Kipel Kiliyom Chazah, the Chazah will already be saying the next one, Yermano, Yermano. So we don't want to rely on this Shemeir Koineh from the Chazan. So that's what the proper thing is, that when you're up to Yoimano, you should say it softly along with the Chazan or before the Chazan, and then you should answer out loud, the Amir of the Amir, Hoyd Lashem Kitav Kiriyom Chazan. Why Havdolah? Do we lie? We make a big tzimis about the Kiddush and Havdolah. Everybody pays attention. If we make the same tzimis by the Halal, everybody would pay attention. We also do it. But we don't go Meister. The Chazanim and the Tzibah, everything is a Tefkedeh. Usually by the end of Hallel, everybody is off key. Everything is off, you know, not synchronized anymore. But since the synchronization may have been lost, that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends, and Tzitzit recommends, everybody should say softly, the Yom HaNon, the Yom HaNon. Otherwise, they'll be missing that process. So it says here in Shulchan Aruch also that our practice is that we all say along the benches, even though we have a mezuzah. So then the Yikar HaDin, everybody has to wash my friend, because it is in the Kaddish, in the Eastern Ocean, you have to have, your daim should not be mezuhamas for the book. Still, the Mishnah Berurah says in the name of the Prima Gonin, in Sifrat and Yudbeis, still we're machped that the one who's benching Mizum, he has more of a din, he has a stronger, more important din, that he should have Yadayim Nekiyos than everybody else. And again, to what are we more machped that he should have Yadayim Nekiyos than everybody else? That what? That we have a din in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to be mafsik in between Mayim Achroinim and benching Birchas HaMazon. Take it from the Netila Bracha. The Gemara says, take it from the Netila Bracha immediately after the Mayim Achroinim. You have to bench the Birchas HaMazon. In addition to that din, there's another din taken from the Netilah Bracha, right after the Mayim Rishonim, you have to say Hamotzi, not to be Mafsi. But that's a question in Poskim. But the Ikir din in the Gemara take it from the Netilah Bracha in the Perek Eilu Dvarim, next to the last Perek and Brachas. The Gemara applies it to Mayim Achronim and Birchas HaMazon. So even though Bismanazah, everybody benches, even when you bench Mizum, everybody recites all the Brachas. So really, everybody needs it until it's Yadayim in order not to have the Yadayim Mizuhamas. But since the original takana was that benching mezuman, one person should bench and the other should enter Ramay, they should be entered his bracha, so the din is stronger on him. So that's why we're makbid that he should not be mafsik. We're makbid more that the mezamein, the din is no one's allowed to be mafsik even to my machrenim at the time that they bench. But we're more makbid on the mezamein, because the ikar din is that the mezamein should recite the bracha. In addition to this din of yadayim mezuhamas tzuras lebracha, that applies to any bracha. The Mishnah Berurah wrote in Chav Gimel, applies to say Baruch Yagotin in the middle of the meal, or Baruch Pri Ha'it, or Shahakal on the ice cream. If you have your diamonds or hummus, you have to wash your hands before you say bracha. In addition to that then, that requires the Netilas Yadayim immediately preceding the bracha, and not to be mapsik in between. There's another reason the Mishnah Berurah quotes. The Gemara says, there's a chashash of Melech Sadoinus, Shemistame Sarinayim, that it's a sakona. His manah said that everybody says the benching along, so no one's allowed to be mafsig, but the din of not to be mafsig is strong around the mezuzah. They might not mean it, but they have more than five people who are going to bench together in the mezuzah, and so then the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, that even though they're all going to bench, so they're all going to wash my machrayim, but you're not supposed to pause too long, you're not supposed to be mafsig the bivoy, you're not supposed to be mafsig the kuhiyah, by pausing too long in between the my machrayim and the benching, so we're makbid more on the mezamein, on his pausing than on everybody else's pausing. Even though they're all going to say the benching, the makbid more on the mezamein than on everybody else. So therefore, if you have, let's say, 100 people who are going to bench mezumah, so the Mishnah Berurah writes in Bir Halacha, the proper thing is on page 170, you should only have one mayim achronim cup. You should have many. And you should place them, meha nochom, sheyashita mayim al ashulchan be'ezim ekon. You should have them in several places, several different cups of mayim achronim. You shouldn't have one cup. Loi koitzech alachol amasum, shayzeizayim shacharbe. It'll take so long for everybody to wash mayim achronim. So let's say if you only have one cup for the mayim achronim, they don't tell the guy's going to bench mezuman, let him wash mayim achronim first, and he'll wait till the other 99 people wash. He'll be pausing so long. So we only allow him to wait the amount of time that it takes that another four people should wash after him. Why do you allow him to wait at all? Why don't you insist that he should be the last one to wash mayim achronim? And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bemis the Gemara that he should chazer. And the time in between you wash mayim achreinim and the time that you bench mezuman, the one is the mezuman is supposed to chazer over the benching in his mind. It's supposed to be mitzvah the birchas hamazon in his mind. So that's why the dafka, we don't have him wash the very last. If you have 100 people, you don't tell the mezuman to wash last. Tell him to wash the fifth before the end. But why not have him wash the first? So that's not, because he'll have to pause so long. Right, but the mezuman is everybody's benching anyway. So the dinner takes to the tefillah bracha applies to everybody. So why do we apply it more to the mezuman than to anybody else? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the prima gonin, no. Still, in Sukkot and Yudbeis, he says, still we're makbid more, because Mikaradin and the Mezamin is supposed to say the whole bracha, the other is supposed to be Yotzeh v'Shemei Kareina, so that's why we're makbid more on the Mezamin than on everybody else. And then there's another din. I think so.
Then you don't have this
mind. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh that when he was the father of the house, he would say the Hamoitzik, so he would wash less. One wash it less, his mouth was less. Another Gedolim, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, another Gedolim would do Bedav Kefakeh, they would wash earlier, and sit and wait for their children and their wives or their wives or whatever, and everybody else to come. But it started, they didn't accept the chemer. They wait for their wives and whatever to come to the table. So what they watched earlier, why did they follow the Rosh's answer? Because they wanted to show their children and the members of the household or the other people that the proper thing is that you're not allowed to be mafti. So they wanted to teach them by example. But you tell me, I'll tell everybody else, I'm always going to wash lids. I never have any problem of sitting and waiting without being mafti. I wash, I dry my hands, and I go and I say, I'm mitzi. So the other people have a yed for her. They wash and they're sitting and waiting. So they'll be mafti, they'll talk. So in order to teach the others how not to be mafti, so other gedolim would the dafke wash earlier and then sit and wait to show the children of their family that they too should do the same, not to be mafti. So again, this is one yisrael adin of my machrein. Then there's another one, the one din of the pasuk in Parashat Kedoshim. These kaddish and these kedoshim. But some of Parashat Pshat is that it's only an asmach. It's not a din de reisi. Shem shem zu un pasul la avoid a kachni yadayim zam tzulus lebrocha. Some it's an asmach. And then there's another din of my machrein because of the Melech Sedomis promise in the time of Seinayim. As far as the Melech Sedomis in the time of Seinayim is concerned, then you can wash my machrein after your bench. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Raivin. It says, cut and base. Avadi should wash before because mechaparayim, there shouldn't be a diamond zahmas. What happened to Echatim? So you had no water. Parfum, so you had a bench without my machrenim. So what's it did later? No, you already benched, so there's no use in washing my machrenim later. So he says, no, he quotes in Raivin. He benched brichas ambasim v'cholei mishayim tsa my machakach yit al yodim shim chashash melech sedomis. That's what he quotes in Raivin at the end of Sid cut and base. That's what it is. The shadow that we have now of the in Sifu, the Mechaber quotes the Tesis, the Balei Tesis didn't wash my Achreinim, and they weren't Nizer and my Megulim. They give you a whole list of things that they didn't practice, things that they didn't observe. So one of them is they never wash my Achreinim. Why? Because they say, as far as Melech Sedayim is, they know Matzi Beinayim. We don't have that Melech Sedayim that's Mestamei Seinayim. And as far as Yedayim is, the Hamas Pesulis Lebrocha, that's only if the guy's Makbid on the dirty things. They didn't have spoons or forks, because man Balei Tesis. But they said that only if the guy's makbid that he wants to wash his hands. But if the guy walks around all day long with dirty fingers, and he turns the pages of his gemaras and the taco all sticky and everything is all full, it doesn't bother him. So then they said, no, if the guy's not makbid, mandalay kofid lekabdina. If it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't bother us. So that's what Tesis said. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that in Sif Yud. The Balei HaTesis held that we're not makbid, we don't have melech zayin. So that's why some are makel. But the Mechaber writes, what happens? Even those who follow says, what happens if one guy is an istrid? I'm a shugan guy. He does wash his hands before he touches his clothes. He's not going to have greasy fingers. But then he says that then it is your diamonds of homes psulis lebron. So that's when the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the later Achreinim. He quotes the Vilna Goyen and the Maharshal and the Yamshish and the Birkei Yosef and the Mekubalim that you should be makbid on Mayim Achreinim. That the two reasons still apply. That the Mayim, that even though we don't have Melech Sedomis, we have other salt that is also dangerous if it gets in the eye. And we should be chayshish for the estimates. The shadow is, what about Bezman HaZeh? That the people don't touch the salt. The people eat with spoons and fork. So that's why there's more svara to be makel Bezman HaZeh. Even if in times of the Balei HaTesis there were those who didn't follow them. But Bezman HaZeh, most people don't get their fingers greasy unless the guy's eating chicken, let's say. He's going to be makbid to wash off his hands before he touches his clothes or before he touches paper or anything, not to get the grease all over. So then everybody holds your diamonds are homeless, soon to barakah. He can't say shahakal on his ice cream either before he washes his hands. He can't say any bracha, not only benching. He can't say any bracha. He can't say burn nefashes. Even if he's not eating, even if he didn't eat bread. Dina my friend applies before burn nefashes also. Wipe it off, okay. The Kaneach. So he says you should be the Kaneach before you say any of them. These are the two reasons why the Chachamim insisted on my Machrein. Do you need a revise for my Machrein or not? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkot and Yutzer, it's a Maisa Rav, they quote that the Vilna Goyim was makbid on a revise. But he quotes Mikra Adin, you don't need it. The Kolbo says, my Machrein don't need a sheer revise, just need enough to cover the fingers. He says, but however, it has to cover the fingers. He writes in Sifkot and Sifkot and Yud, Ra alai ha-maisa shira isi. The Mishnah Berurah says it's terrible that the people make a joke. Shame the people are makbid on my machrenim. Shame is the hearim and the tilis my machrenim. But they don't wash, they just put tipi mayim al roshi as we're saying, like a religious ritual. That's nothing. They don't have enough water to clean off the hands. He says you have to have enough water to cover the hands. No shir, just enough to cover the hands. And how much of the hair has to be washed? So the Mechaber says the first two till the second joint, and on the thumb only till the first joint. Not till the. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, but that's the Gemara says there's the vague Gemara in Chulin, the beginning of Kol Abasa. So the Gemara says, my Rachel and Megara washed till there, and my Rachel and Megara washed further, till there. What's till there? What's till there? Adkan and Adkan. The Gemara doesn't have any diagrams, so we don't know. They didn't have a Steinsaus as Mana Gemara. So there's a Machloek is there, Rashi tells us how far. The one sheet is that my Machrayim you have to wash till here, my Rishonim till here, till the knuckles, and the other day is no, my Machrayim till the knuckles, my Rishonim till the wrist. Oh, so Hayyais said the Shulchan Aruch you should always wash Mikra, and then we pass and just wash my Rishonim till the knuckles, let's say you don't have enough water. And let's say on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, and we wash in the morning, so you only wash till here. That's why the Beis Yosef says when you wash until the Siddhan till the wrist, you should always say B'li Neder. Or you should say the first time you wash till the wrist, you should say B'li Neder. No, they're not going to be Kabbalah and Zaneda because on Tishbab Yom Kippur, we're not going to wash till the wrist, we're just going to wash till the wrist. Tamika Razim, we pass, we only wash till here, and my Machrayim is only till here. But since normally we're usually Machmet to wash till here, so then for my Machrayim, we should be Machmet to wash till here, till the Nakhla. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. You should really be Machmet, quotes from the Rul Nagoyan also. You should really be Machmet, since we're Machmet by my Rishayim, so you should be Machmet by my Machmet. If you have your diamonds at home. So you have to pour from a kli. He quotes the shayla about this. And I marked it yeah, and I marked it no. You have to pour it into a kli. That says in the Gemara. You're not allowed to pour it on the floor. But you have to pour it from a kli. So he says that nikar adin, you know. What? In the sink is good, yeah. Go down the train, that's it. Then it says that the ruach ro, that shavar leidaim, you should be careful, you shouldn't go on the floor. What if the floor is paved? If you have a rug on the floor, you have a pile on the floor, you have linoleum, so it's not mamash on a dirt floor, is it a kpeda or not? The Mishnah Berurah quotes that there is a kpeda, whatever is mechuba the karka is not chetzit kufnei akarka, unless you have a throw, let's say you have a rug that's not attached to the ground. So then you can pour mayim achrayim on top of that rug. But if you can't pour the mayim achrayim, can't spill it on top of anything that's mechubal the karka because the Gemara says some kind of a ruach ro.
What's considered mechubal the karka? Most floors nowadays are built on foundation. It's not directly. Like this floor has a base underneath.
But isn't this attached to the ground? The guy will push the building. Is not going to tilt off from this stuff. No. No. Period. Now, after you wash my machrenim, then the Gemara says in Chulin that a ruach ro develops yesh me'ayin. Now a ruach ro develops. Yeah, yesh me'ayin, a ruach ro develops. Because of that, you have to pour it down a sink or pour it in a kli, not to let it spill on the floor. Yeah, mikra, then you don't need a kli. But you say you don't need a kli. Think so.
It's not
that
you
like
to do. Let me just wash the dishes.
Good enough? Okay, so that's the Mayim Achrenim. That was the Mayim Achrenim. Then the Gemara has a Lashon, Mayim Rishonim, Mitzvah, Mayim Achrenim, Choyvo. What's the significance of saying a chilek between the Lashon, Mayim Rishonim, Mitzvah, Mayim Achrenim, Choyvo? So the Tosis says, the word Choyvo has a connotation of something that you have to do, but it's not technically a mitzvah. So that's why there's no birchas on mitzvah. You always say bichas on mitzvah and a mitzvah. Sheik neshana b'mitzvah isa v'tzivana. The mitzvah isa v'tzivana is one of the mitzvah. So my machrem, there's no bracha because it's a chayva and it's not a mitzvah. What does that mean? But you have to do it. So he says, yeah, it's like you salt the meat to take out the blood. Like you do nikur ha-chela v'hagid. You're supposed to do nikur ha-chela. You're supposed to remove the fat that is also b'achila. You're supposed to remove the gidanoshe. But what else do people do mishum sakana? Let's say if you have something that's dangerous, they remove the dover shol sakana. Because what's sasim dami the v'istecho. If you have a tzulim ra'u of a soft basis, you have to put it away. If you have a kelev ra, you have to put it away. So there's no bracha recited when you protect yourself, when you prevent, let's say, a guy shaves with an electric shave. It doesn't say a bracha shaved shem, so it says, there's no bracha that you recite before abstaining from violation of Allah. So here too, you don't recite a bracha when you wash mayim achrayim because you're avoiding the sakana of. You don't say a bracha when you avoid the sakana. What about a maka in addition to being protection from the love that doesn't do is also necessary, but that's only if it's taka maka and a gag of a house that has dalal dalal amas. Let's say over here, let's say there's a fence over there on that private street that the people from the street shouldn't fall down into Wari's parking lot. So that fence is the mitzvah, it's a din, they have to put a fence because l'asasim dama ve'secho, someone could get killed. But that's not the mitzvah of makah, because the makah is only to put a makah on top of a gag that has a deer of dalar dalar amis underneath it. So when they put up that fence, those guys didn't say a bracha. Even if it would have been Jews, we wouldn't have said a bracha. You only recite a bracha when you make a makah, when it's a mitzvah tested makah on top of a gag, on a gag that's on top of a bayis sheyesh bo deer. But if you protect yourself from any other sakonas, they make a makah in a place like a makah like that, where it's no mitzvah of a gag, a gabi beis deer, there's no beis deer underneath it, then there's no mitzvah tested, just a prevention of the violation of the law. So on a law, you don't say a bracha. So the Shaila is here, the Mishnah Berurah Perek Tagut Kash from Yud Zayin. What do you mean? But there are two reasons for Mayim Achronim. One of them is that you avoid the Lois Tesei. Like you avoid eating Kalev, you avoid eating Dam. So you salt the meat, you don't say a bracha. Because the purpose of salting is not a ritual, it's not a religious ceremony. It's in order not to eat Dam. Or you take out the Kalev and the Gid. In order not to eat Dam.